Today is the second day of February. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It's great to be here with you today. Around the global campfire again, together. In the presence of the scriptures, in each other's presence, in the presence of God, and in a safe place where repair can happen in our lives. Let's take a next step forward. We are in the book of Exodus, and it has been a dramatic entry into the book of Exodus. The children of Israel are now, well, Egyptian free. They have been able to leave captivity and slavery. And the armies of Pharaoh, who have come to recollect them, have been done away with in the Red Sea. And so now they've got to move forward. Let's watch that story unfold. Exodus chapter 15, verse 19 through 17, verse 7 today. For the horses of Pharaoh came with his chariots and his footmen into the sea, and the Lord brought back the waters of the sea on them. But the Israelites walked on dry land in the middle of the sea. Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a hand drum in her hand, and all the women went out after her with hand drums and with dances. Miriam sang in response to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea." Then Moses led Israel to journey away from the Red Sea. They went out to the wilderness of Shur, walked for 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. Then they came to Marah, but they were not able to drink the waters of Marah because they were bitter. That is why its name was Marah. So the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What can we drink?" He cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When Moses threw it into the water became safe to drink. There the Lord made for them a binding ordinance, and there he tested them. He said, "If you will diligently obey the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight and pay attention to his commandments and keep all his statutes, then all the diseases that I brought on the Egyptians I will not bring on you. For I, the Lord, am your healer." Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. And they camped there by the water. When they journeyed from Elim, the entire company of Israelites came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their exodus from the land of Egypt. The entire company of Israelites murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people will go out and gather the amount for each day, so that I may test them. Will they walk in my law or not? On the sixth day, they will prepare what they bring in, and it will be twice as much as they gather every other day." Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening, you will know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning, you will see the glory of the Lord because he has heard your murmurings against the Lord. As for us, what are we that you should murmur against us?" Moses said, "You will know this when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and bread. bread in the morning to satisfy you, because the Lord has heard your murmurings that you are murmuring against him. As for us, what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, tell the whole community of the Israelites, come before the Lord, because he has heard your murmurings. As Aaron spoke to the whole community of the Israelites, and they looked toward the wilderness, there the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud, and the Lord spoke to Moses, I have heard the murmurings of the Israelites. Tell them, during the evening you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be satisfied with bread, so that you may know that I am the Lord your God. In the evening the quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning a layer of dew was all around the camp. When the layer of dew had evaporated, there, on the surface of the wilderness, was a thin, flaky substance, thin like frost on the earth. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, what is it? Because they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, it is the bread that the Lord has given you for food. This is what the Lord has commanded. Each person is to gather from it what he can eat, an omer per person, according to the number of your people. Each one will pick it up for whoever lives in his tent. The Israelites did so, and they gathered, some more, some less. When they measured with an omer, the one who gathered much had nothing left over, and the one who gathered little lacked nothing. Each one had gathered what he could eat. Moses said to them, no one is to keep any of it until morning. But they did not listen to Moses. Some kept part of it until morning, and it was full of worms and began to stink. And Moses was angry with them. So they gathered it each morning, each person according to what he could eat. And when the sun got hot, it would melt. And on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much food, two omers per person. And all the leaders of the community came and told Moses. He said to them, this is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a time of cessation from work, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Whatever you want to bake, bake today. Whatever you want to boil, boil today. Whatever is left, put aside for yourselves to be kept until morning. So they put it aside until the morning, just as Moses had commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. Moses said, eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the area. 6 days you will gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any. On the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather it, but they found nothing. So the Lord said to Moses, how long do you refuse to obey my commandments and my instructions? See, because the Lord has given you the Sabbath, that is why he is giving you food for 2 days on the sixth day. Each of you stay where you are. Let no one go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. The house of Israel called its name manna. It was like coriander seed and was white, and it tasted like wafers with honey. Moses said, this is what the Lord has commanded. Fill an omer with it to be kept for generations to come, so that they may see the food I fed you in the wilderness, when I brought you out from the land of Egypt. Moses said to Aaron, take a jar and put in it an omer full of manna, and place it before the Lord to be kept for generations to come. Just as the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron placed it before the Ark of the Testimony for safekeeping. Now the Israelites ate manna 40 years, until they came to a land that was inhabited. They ate manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan. Now an omer is 1/10 of an ephah. The whole community of the Israelites traveled on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the Lord's instruction, and they pitched camp in Rephidim. Now, there was no water for the people to drink. So the people contended with Moses, and they said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you contend with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people were very thirsty there for water, and they murmured against Moses and said, "Why in the world did you bring us up from Egypt? To kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" And Moses cried out to the Lord, "What will I do with this people? A little more and they will stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go over before the people, take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand your staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will be standing before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you will strike the rock, and water will come out of it, so that the people may drink." And Moses did so in plain view of the elders of Israel. He called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the contending of the Israelites, and because of their testing the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Matthew 22, 1-33. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to summon those who had been invited to the banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, the feast I have prepared for you is ready. My oxen and fattened cattle have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they were indifferent and went away, one to his farm, another to his business. The rest seized his slaves, insolently mistreated them, and killed them. The king was furious. He sent his soldiers, and they put those murderers to death and set their city on fire. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but the ones who had been invited were not worthy. So go into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' And those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. When the king came in to see the wedding guests, he saw a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes, and he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without wedding clothes?' But he had nothing to say. Then the king said to his attendants, 'Tie him up hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.' And the Pharisees went out and planned together to entrap him with his own words. They sent to him their disciples along with the Herodians, saying, 'Teacher, we know that you are truthful and teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You do not court anyone's favor because you show no partiality. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not?' But Jesus realized their evil intentions and said, 'Hypocrites, why are you testing me? Show me the coin used for the tax.' So they brought him a denarius. Jesus said to them, 'Whose image is this and whose inscription?' They replied, 'Caesar's.' And he said to them, 'Then give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's.' Now when they heard this, they were stunned, and they left him and went away. The same day, Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him and asked him, "Teacher, Moses said, if a man dies without having children, his brother must marry the widow and father children for his brother. Now there were 7 brothers among us. The first one married and died, and since he had no children, he left his wife to his brother. The second did the same, and the third, down to the 7th. Last of all, the woman died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife of the 7 will she be? For they all had married her." Jesus answered them, "You are deceived, because you don't know the scriptures or the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. Now as for the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living." When the crowds heard this, they were amazed at his teaching. Psalm 27, 1 through 6, by David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. I fear no one. The Lord protects my life. I am afraid of no one. When evil men attack me to devour my flesh, when my adversaries and enemies attack me, they stumble and fall. Even when an army is deployed against me, I do not fear. Even when war is imminent, I remain confident. I have asked the Lord for one thing. This is what I desire. I want to live in the Lord's house all the days of my life, so I can gaze at the splendor of the Lord and contemplate in his temple. He will surely give me shelter in the day of danger. He will hide me in his home. He will place me on an inaccessible rocky summit. Now I will triumph over my enemies who surround me. I will offer sacrifices in his dwelling place and shout for joy. I will sing praises to the Lord. Proverbs 6, 20 through 26. My child, guard the commands of your father, and do not forsake the instruction of your mother. Bind them on your heart continually. Fasten them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. When you wake up, they will talk to you. For the commandments are like a lamp. Instruction is like a light. And rebukes of discipline are like the road leading to life. By keeping you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the loose woman. Do not lust in your heart for her beauty, and do not let her captivate you with her alluring eyes. For on account of a prostitute, one is brought down to a loaf of bread. But the wife of another man preys on your precious life. Okay, in the book of Exodus, we are now turning into the wilderness. There is a significant story in the wilderness before there will ever be a promised land for the children of Israel. And this is a very significant backdrop to so much of the Bible. Because it's so much of a backdrop to our own lives, we don't want to acknowledge the wilderness in life. We want to avoid the wilderness and suppress the wilderness and skirt around the wilderness of our lives. And yet, as we will see, it is the wilderness that forms the children of Israel. And it is our own wilderness seasons that have formative power in our own lives. That doesn't mean anything is easy. I mean, being formed, formation is difficult. Maturity is difficult, is always a challenge, is rarely fun, feels like a dry and thirsty land, a dry and thirsty season. And so understanding and embracing the wilderness for what it is as we go through the children of Israel story will actually be so revealing to our own hearts and our own stories if we will pay attention. So after this miraculous final victory over the Egyptians at the Red Sea, God guides his people into the wilderness. This is not the direct route into the promised land, but there was significant work that had to be done. These people had been slaves for over four centuries. No one alive knew anything else. They were born into slavery. They only ever knew that as an identity. No one alive could remember anything else. They knew maybe their origin story in the legends, but they did not know a different identity. That identity would need to change if they were going to be set apart and become a kingdom of priests to reveal a holy God to the world. God chooses the wilderness to change the identity of slave to set apart and holy, to chosen. And that will not come any easier for them than it does for us. Yet these wilderness seasons of our lives are some of the most important. Look, I am saying what I truly believe to be the truth and also what I hate. I have hated, typically, the wilderness seasons of my life. Some of them I have despised, like they have been brutal to try to put one foot in front of the other and believe there was ever going to be an end to the challenge, to the struggle, to the pain. The wilderness leaves no other option but to trust God. The wilderness wears down all the resources of our own capacity to be our own sovereign, to navigate our own selves. Like when you are in the middle of a desert and there is no water, and your strength has run out, and there is no clear way to go where the nearest anything is, then what do you have left but to wholly trust in God, which is vital to knowing God at all. Which is why we'll see in the children of Israel, but why we see in our own lives, the wilderness forms character and identity. It is those seasons of navigating those kinds of things that are the deepest lessons we will ever learn. I mean, think about what I'm saying in your own life. I am not saying it's easy. I am saying it is so hard. It doesn't even seem like we can make it. I get it. I don't like it. It's just true. In the wilderness, for the children of Israel, we'll watch God miraculously provide. but we'll also see that they are hungry and thirsty, and that they are grumbling. I mean, like, today, if only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt. Like, there was meat there, there was bread there was food there. Now we're out here in the wilderness and you've brought us to starve to death. I mean, gosh, does that not mimic our own lives? I'm going back to bondage. I'm going back to slavery. At least I knew what was going on there. At least I knew how to navigate what I needed and take what I wanted and get what I wanted by manipulation or whatever. But now out here where none of those things will work, I'm just going to starve. I'm just going to die. My needs aren't going to be met. I can't take. I can't manipulate. I'm just in the wilderness. I can just trust. I'm going back to bondage. I'm going back to slavery. I'm going back to where I'm in control. But here the children of Ar are living in the middle of a promise that has taken centuries to form. And somehow they are lamenting about the good old days when they were getting beaten as slaves, making bricks for the Egyptians. That seems jarring to watch until we know it's us and it's familiar. Because all we can think about is getting out of the wilderness, whatever it takes. Who do I have to sell myself to get out of this pain? But our identity is going to have to shift if we're going to grow in intimacy with God. Which means we cannot miss the purpose of the wilderness. Because God is guiding gently, deliberately, slowly, dismantling our power. Because the journey forces us to trust Him completely and utterly for all that we are and all that we will ever be. If we are no longer going to be slaves to sin and a friend of God and set apart as holy to reveal the glory of the Lord upon the earth through our lives, it will take the wilderness to get us there. So, Holy Spirit, this sucks. It is so difficult to absorb that reality of our own brokenness, our own fallenness, the distortions in ourselves and in the way that we have expectations about how things are supposed to work. The entitlement of our lives, the authority that we think we have, all that can shake, will be shaken in the wilderness of our lives, so that all that remains is that which cannot be shaken. And so, Holy Spirit, lead us into all truth and lead us to trust You in the wilderness. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app. These are home base. This is where to get connected. So get connected and be connected with what's going on around here. Check out the community section. This is where the prayer wall lives, and that is an always on, never off place to go, no matter what is going on. And it's just inside this community. So, you know, with those brothers and sisters of yours that are actually literally on the same page, we are on the same page with each other in the most literal of ways as we move through the Bible together. And so we are in this together. And there's a connection that comes from that that I've just seen over all these years that is like nothing else I've ever seen. So if things are going on and they're too much to carry alone, prayer wall is a good place to reach out and have brothers and sisters pray for you. It's also a good place to go back and rejoice, because it's a place of rejoicing as well as a place of, you know, difficulty and pain. And so be familiar with the prayer wall. There are also links to the different social media platforms that we are on. So if you're in some of those spaces like Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or YouTube or X, we're there too. And following along and just kind of receiving announcements and behind the scenes and stuff like that is great. So be connected and stay connected. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if being here in this safe place that we call the Global Campfire, if that is meaningful to you, thank you for your partnership. We wouldn't be here if we weren't in this together. So thank you. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. That's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello, DAB. Stefan from Northeast Ohio. Calling in, heard Leo's phone call, 75-year-old, who was having heart failure, and God recreated his heart and helped him to have a heart of an 18-year-old. Amazing miracles that God provides for all of us when we ask for him. What a great God we have. What a great God we serve. What a wonderful God. We just take a moment to say thank you, Father God. Thank you for your kindness, your grace, your mercy, for your healing power upon all of us. Thank you for this day, Lord God, for all that you've blessed us with, to be able to be here, Lord God, know who you are, know who Jesus is, our Savior. I also want to add two prayers to this. I have two men of God in my church who are both going through pancreatic cancer. Their names are Rick and Roman. If you could lift them up, DAB family, in prayer. Rick and Roman. And they have families, and they are doing their best fight, knowing that God is their salvation and God is their healer. Thank you, everyone. Have a great day.
Hi, this is Julia from LA. I am calling to pray for the mom that called in. I just heard it. She was calling in for her son who was dealing with paranoia, some mental health issues, and she was just talking about wanting her son back. And I just wanted to reach out to you and let you know that I'm praying for you. I'm praying for your son. I'm declaring that healing over him. I went through a period where I felt like I had a psychotic break, and I was dealing with a lot of paranoia and just feeling like I was going insane. And I stayed really close to the Lord, and I saw the Lord pull me out of that season and make me a new creation. And so I just want to encourage you that, you know, the Lord's hand is not too short. It he outstretches it. He runs after his babies. And so I'm lifting up your baby boy. I'm thinking of my son also, and all the things, all the seasons I'm going to go through with him. And you know, just hoping people will partner with me as I go through those seasons. And so I'm partnering with you, and I'm just rebuking any spirit of insanity, of paranoia, of fear, of anxiety, anything that's not aligned in his mind. I'm calling the blood of Jesus to go into every crevice of his mind right now, and for chains to be broken, any genetic, anything coming down the bloodline, anything that is not of the Lord, I just rebuke it right now. I come into agreement with you. And I'm praying for you. I'm praying for your peace of mind, that you will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living over your son's life. I declare that psalm that says that his faithfulness and his truth will continually sustain you. I thank you that I thank the Lord that he's going to pull your son out of that place. And so I'm with you, sister. I'm praying with you. You are not alone. We are for you and with your son.
Hi, everyone. It's Christy in Kentucky. I wanted to call today and ask for prayer for a young lady that I just spoke with on the phone. This is also a praise report because I called in to talk to my internet carrier, and I got this lovely lady on the phone, and her name is Tiffany. And we got our business taken care of, and I was talking about Tim. And as it turns out, Tiffany's second cousin named Jacqueline has a horrid disease called CMT. I'm sure that many of you may know about it, but I'd never heard about it before. This is a genetic disease, and her mother, Amanda, also has it. Amanda's mom also just was diagnosed with MS on top of CMT. And she's concerned because she takes care of Jacqueline. Jacqueline was 6 years old when she was diagnosed. And now she's 21. And she needs her mama. Father, we love you and we praise you. And I want to thank you and give you praise, honor, and glory that I had such a beautiful conversation with Tiffany. That we were able to share, Father, how much we love you. And Lord, we are asking today for healing. Healing for Amanda, healing for Jacqueline. Lord, your touch, your simple touch can turn everything around. So Lord, I'm asking this for this family. This mama is concerned about her daughter. Of course she is. Lord, her daughter needs her. And I'm asking you, Jesus, to please touch these two beautiful women and heal them in Jesus' name.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible. This is Joyful in Virginia, and I was just calling to pray for Fearfully and Wonderfully Made and her son, Nicholas. I so feel you, sister, because my sister is right there later in life at 53 and just having signs of this. And, it's been heartbreaking to see her, so I know how you feel. And Lord, I just lift up Tanya and Nicholas, and I pray that you would bring their minds to healing and completion, and that they would both be willing to take the medicine that they might need right now, and but that you would heal them completely, Lord, that you would bring both of their minds back to how you intended them to be. Lord, I pray that you would comfort Fearfully and Wonderfully Made, and that you would help her to know you are right there with her, and that I will be praying for her as well. It is just so heart-wrenching to see the hurt and them go through this. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would just comfort each of us, and that you would bring your healing to both Tanya and Nicholas. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Hi, DAB family. This is Resting in God's Shadow. I wanted to lift up the gentleman that called in asking for prayer over his 17-year-old stepson and his two children that are at home, a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. Just that you are God, that you are sovereign, that you are in control, that nothing surprises you. And Heavenly Father, you knew this situation. You knew these events. You knew the course and the path of these boys' lives. Heavenly Father, I lift this situation up to you, to your throne of grace and mercy. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence in this situation. We thank you for your peace and your comfort in this situation. Father, I pray that you provide wisdom and discernment to this mom and this dad on how to go about this situation, Heavenly Father. The 17-year-old, the 10-year-old, then the 7-year-old, Heavenly Father, as they are each individuals and needed to be treated as individuals so that you can direct the parents on how to handle each situation as it needs to be handled. I also pray your peace and your comfort over the parents and each child, Heavenly Father. I pray for just an overwhelming peace in the parents to surrender the situation. To surrender. Sometimes that's so difficult as parents to surrender our children to you, Father, but they were your children and are your children first. You created them. You knit them together in her womb, Heavenly Father, and you knew them before they ever did. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you that these are your children, that these are your boys, that you have them, that you love them, that you see them. And Heavenly Father, I pray that you just draw them back to you, that you have a mighty conviction and encounter with these boys, and that they have no choice but to hunger and to thirst for you. It is in your mighty name, Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Hello from beautiful Cincinnati, Ohio. This is Daniel Johnson Jr. Today is Wednesday, January 28th, and I am here in that cold Cincinnati, Ohio. And I'm requesting prayer for myself. It's been over a month since my mom passed away. My mom died the day after Christmas, and dealing with the grief around all of that has been tough. There are days that I feel like I'm okay, and other days that I'm weepy like I am right now. On top of that, my job ended a couple of weeks before this happened, and so I'm out of work, and I've been struggling to find money to pay for our bills, to make rent. And so I'm tempted with a lot of worry and anxiety around all of this. My wife is trying hard to manage things on her own. I'm grateful that we have our daughter that lives with us, but each of us takes care of 1/3 of our household expenses, and I've had nothing for over a month and a half now. And I don't know how we're going to do it. So I'm asking for your prayers for my next job. I've been trying to look for a job while dealing with the need of burying my mom. Not really burying my mom, we had her cremated, but dealing with all of that. Memorial service was beautiful. So many people have stepped in to help, but now we've got other things that need help. We need help with. So please pray for us, God, that God will provide, continue to provide for us, and that he answers. And we're waiting for him to answer. From beautiful Cincinnati, Ohio, God bless you. It's Daniel Johnson Jr. Make it a great day.